This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've done 3 hours of football and Wiggy's excellent A++ news today.
Excellent.
That's all we've done here.
Spectacular.
It is Wiggy, Fitzy, Mutt in for Greg Hill. Their show is back tomorrow. I think everyone else is here today. Greg and Danielle off. They're back tomorrow. I think Dale and Keith will be here with Andy Hart and then OMF this afternoon.
They took Martin Luther King Day off.
And you're working. You are a man of the people. You could have taken this day off. You could have said, you know what? No.
You would think.
I'm going to enjoy the day off today.
You would think. And a calm would go, okay. It's Martin Luther King Day.
Yep.
You know, one of the most inspirational black civil rights leaders of all time.
No doubt.
We're going to, you know what? We're going to let some guy, people take that holiday off, especially African American employees.
Yes. Go, Wiggy, take that day off. Enjoy the day. Nope. Instead, come in at 5:45.
No,
nope, you come in, and Greg and Danielle,
yes,
you stay home.
Yeah. And the white woman,
Fitzy,
and
you
white
come
man.
On in. That's right. Let's go.
And you come in, yeah, and you come in, Fitzy, and you come in, and you come in, and you come in.
It's just ironic.
Don't you think? Yeah, a lot of sports.
This is one of those holidays.
She almost had that lyric in there. Right. Talking about you and MLK Day, right, that song.
And then she replaced it with a black fly and a Chardonnay.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. It's like having to go to work when it's MLK.
Right. It's like.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of those days, though, where you do have to ask, like, are you guys open? I just wanted to check. You know,
I don't know. I think a lot of. Because I have kids, I know schools are closed.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yes. It's a holiday. It's MLK Day is a holiday everywhere but Arizona.
Well, what's Arizona's beef? What's Arizona's beef?
Let's
with
be honest.
Yeah, okay. There's some issues there. So it's been mostly football.
Have you been to Scottsdale?
Let's be honest.
Beautiful area. Nice golf tournament. I was at MGM Springfield Saturday. We're the lead into the Oddballs on Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
We were hanging out for the
Thank
Red Sox
the
winter weekend.
And
you're welcome. Thank you for the powerhouse follow-up. And I will tell you this. Everyone that I talk to in the organization for the Red Sox, on and off the air, they are convinced they did nothing wrong. They think they're going to get off scot-free. They think what they did was legal. Mm-hmm. They think that these were just some Red Sox players or sources to Evan Drellick and to Ken Rosenthal that had some axes to grind with the team that didn't know exactly what was going on, sort of knew half-truths, and they ran with it.
Stephen Wright.
They think, maybe.
So then why?
They think they are going to be let off the hook
then
by
why
the
2018
report.
Then why move on from report. Alex Cora? Because I'm starting to think that, like, I'm starting to sit there and, like, you know.
PR panic movement.
Well, I think Dan Roach had it initially on a tweet, and then I think Lou kind of.
Lou and Christian both have jumped in on
and
this.
And co-signed it. So I'm kind of like, you know what? Then why would you let Alex Cora go?
It's a great question.
Are you letting him go because of what you found out that he was doing in Houston?
Yeah,
and let him go, but why even would the Mets then let Carlos Beltran go?
So the Red Sox have tried to say it was a mutual thing, and I've mocked that for a couple days. Pete Abraham's got a story in the Globe yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It has, like, it's a detail of, like, so the timeline from Monday to Friday, how the Red Sox handled this. And in Pete's story in the Globe, he is suggesting that it was Cora who said that once the penalties came out, if it was going to be a 1 or 2 year suspension, and the team thinks that's what he's going to get, that Cora told them he would not be able to come back and manage the team after those 2 years. That he took the blame for what happened in Houston, said he didn't bring it to Boston.
Okay.
But he was the one who said, I can't manage given what happened in Houston.
I could see that, because if you know that you're potentially going to be looking at least a 1 year suspension. Because that's what ultimately A.J. Hinch got and the GM over there. So if you know 2 years, you're probably, and how many years did he left on his deal? You factor that in, and then you kind of say, I've been away from this team for 2 years. Now I'm going to come back and manage the team.
Not great.
Yeah, it's not a great idea.
No.
It's not, and so I can understand where they mutually agreed to say, you know what, where Cora said it's probably best if we can, you know, I walk away, even though maybe the Reds, who knows, the Red Sox might have said, hey, listen, we'll stand by you.
That's the problem I have with this, Wiggy, is that you really have to ignore all common sense, that Alex Cora was the mastermind of the system in Houston, and then, and then came to Boston and didn't bring any of that here, just decided once he got here, I'm not going to do that anymore. And to your point, to your point about them standing by them, if they don't know the penalty yet, they could have just suspended him and said he's suspended until we find exactly what happens here. He's not going to be made, can't do public appearances, can't go to the dinner, can't go down there for winter weekend, but he's suspended until the league makes their decision, and we're going to do that instead of just throwing him to the curb.
And then who is it, Mike Lowell, who said he'd be a bridge manager?
Yes, he texted Bradford and said
that. How do you bridge manage? Like, how do you, you just an interim, like, it's one thing to be an interim coach because you're filling in while someone's gone. Like, well, actually, it's happened before in the NFL. Who coached the Saints in 2010?
Greg Williams? No, not Greg. No, obviously not.
Was it Greg Williams that year?
He was part of Bounty Gate.
Wait, he can't have been. He was part of Bounty Gate.
I forget who it was.
But remember, maybe it was like their special teams coach.
Bruce Arians was the interim coach for a while.
You're talking about New Orleans? Was it Vitt or something like that?
Joe Vitt. I think you're right, actually. Yeah. So he had to basically be the bridge coach while Peyton was suspended for that full year with the giant picture of him hanging over practice.
Right. Well, that's fine if you know when Peyton comes back, you're going to be right back on the staff with him, right?
There's too much uncertainty surrounding
Core. But you had made a point of the Red Sox not knowing. So here's where
I have a hard time believing they did nothing wrong.
So here's where I kind of think that maybe they didn't do nothing wrong, because Bogaerts was asked a couple of questions about this, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, obviously it's very unfortunate. I know he's someone that we all enjoyed playing for and love to just sit and have some nice conversation with him baseball wise. He'll be someone that we'll definitely miss a lot, and obviously me especially, that Guru have such a great relationship with him.
What did he do for you as a player?
I think he helped me get to the other level that I was trying to reach, you know. I'm very thankful for him. Always was a fan of him as a person, especially when he was doing the TV stuff, and obviously when he was with Houston, just seeing him on the field, he just such a smart baseball guy, you know, and when he came over here, he just pushed all of us to heights that we obviously wanted to reach.
How surprising is it to get the
contract? Whoa. Again?
He sort of made you one of his projects in his first year as manager, wanted you to be more aggressive at the plate, worked with you about, you know, your defense in the field and positioning and mechanics.
I think the aggressive part, it stayed the same. I was pretty passive. In the beginning, I kind of changed a little bit, but as I said, I'm so thankful for him, for being a part of the organization for these past couple of years.
Now, the thing that, and he also...
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Core. He's not addressing the stuff at all. J.D. Martinez directs it.
Well, here's what Bogaerts talking about when they asked about, you know, what the team did.
Sure.
Sandra, how do you respond to the people that are going to call the Red Sox cheaters, that are going to question you and your teammates?
Obviously, MLB is investigating that, so I have nothing to say until they say they're doing their... As I said, we worked hard every day in 2018. We showed up, we played hard, we loved each other, and I think that's one of the main reasons we reached as far as we did.
Well, he's not really denying it. Play J.D. Martinez. Let's play the J.D. Martinez cut where he basically says he can't wait for the report to come out because they did nothing wrong.
What happened? I don't know. You got to ask Houston that. I don't know.
Well, what does it feel like for the Red Sox to be under investigation? You've been here for a couple of years.
You know, it sucks. I'm going to be honest with you. It does suck. But you know what? I think I know I'm excited for the investigation to get over with, just so they can see that there was nothing going on here.
What would it go find?
I believe that, yes.
That is coming out and saying we did nothing wrong. So Bogaerts says we worked hard. You know, the other managers and coaches there said we worked hard, whatever. He is coming out and saying we did nothing wrong.
Right.
He was the strongest voice down there this weekend.
So don't you think, because we know from the Houston investigation and reports that basically, MLB said that the players were a part of this elaborate scheme.
Oh, yeah.
Players were extremely involved in it. So when players now come out here and say, well, it was hard work that made us win, we had nothing to do with it, isn't that them, if they knew that they had something to do with it, isn't that a bad look on them? Because that's going to do all, and the only thing that could do for them is backfire in the face and be a bad look.
They would look bad because then they're all a bunch of liars.
Right.
And or how bad will they feel if they've put their faith and trust in Cora and then they find out all along that he'd been running some sort of backdoor scheme or like a covert version.
The players would have known something.
Right.
They
it's not
had,
like,
there's
it's
no
not
way
football.
They could have not known. Part right. of the double negative, but.
But I mean, so you're saying you can't imagine a player like lying? Like the A.J. Hinch, the manager for the Astros, there's sound all over the place, him saying how clean they were and how great they did it. They were cheating the whole freaking time.
Right.
And he just lied about it and mocked the idea.
But look at the look that it's been on him. Like how he's breaking monitors and this, that, and the other. And it's a bad look. So when players come out and they now say that they had no involvement in this, they, you know, this is something. It's not like football where you go, okay, they taped the walkthrough, allegedly taped the walkthrough, and now the coaches look at it and they evaluate right. and all this other mm-hmm. stuff, and they go, say, okay, here we go. We're going to utilize this. I think the thing that you look at is baseball. They need involvement to know the signs, right? That's the players need to be involved. Mm-hmm. And so if players come out and say that they had nothing to do with it, and then you find out they did, that's an extremely, that's a bad, bad look.
We agree, but you think it's crazy? I don't. What's crazier? Players wanting to think that their championship was clean, or Alex Cora coming to Boston and not cheating in some sort of way he did in Houston?
You want to know what the craziest thing? A player lying about it, and then them knowing that they're being investigated for it, and then it coming out.
But technically, the reason why they're getting asked the questions the Astros never get asked is because there's now a report to compare it to. There was no Astros report, so the players couldn't really deny it because they know what was coming. They're denying now the Red Sox that they had a Houston-like system. Is that to say they had nothing going on here? And that three sources lied to Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal. These three sources are going to be completely dead ass wrong about the Red Sox
cheating. But with the Astros, what did they do? They went back and they looked, and we had the clip where you hear the banging on the trash can
sure.
or whatever it is. So you had, and this was a while back when we got that evidence there. So you have actual evidence of, like, if you're paying attention, you can hear them banging on the trash cans. You can hear this kind of stuff. Unless you have that, I think when the players, if they're saying they had nothing to do with this, and the MLB comes out mm-hmm. and says, we've looked and we can't find anything, don't you think that then Alex Cora maybe came here and he didn't do what he was doing?
Yeah, I'm saying based on just common sense, I have a hard time believing that. Now, even if baseball, I'm biased because I think baseball is trying to cut this stuff off and trying to get rid of the story as fast as they can, uh-huh. which is why they're only penalizing people that aren't in the players' union, Carlos Beltran, Alex Cora, AJ Hinch, because the players would be a lot tougher to go after. So even if they come out and they say, nope, no issues for the Red Sox, the story's not over because there are still three sources mm-hmm. that know a lot about what the Red Sox did in 2018. They're not going to be quiet. They're going to tell more of their story.
Right.
Maybe they'll go Mike Fiers and put their name to it and say, I am. You joked about Stephen Wright,
right.
who's a disgruntled pitcher who's not here anymore. Okay,
mm-hmm.
maybe he puts his name to it and says, here's how they did it and explains it.
Won't we get some evidence?
I think so. Yeah. Or at least a player putting his name to it.
And by the way, nationally, there was a poll I read on ESPN over the weekend that said that fans want players punished. They want, the fans want names. The fans want blood. They want accountability at this point.
Well, but think about this now, right? With all this evidence that comes out, and I think it would be the same for the Red Sox. If it's Stephen Wright and he says, okay, this is what they were doing, don't you think we would then maybe get some the banging on the trash can audio or the Jose Altuve where he's, like, clenching his shirt and there's that type of thing? You actually see physical evidence that makes you go, wait a second, why did he hit this home run and then run into the dugout, didn't want nobody to touch his shirt,
mm-hmm.
right? And now it was the alleged niece that said that they were wearing these devices.
The alleged niece, I know, yeah.
She's not a real niece.
Who the hell is Beltran's niece?
It's a player.
Yeah.
But don't you see that there's actual
Beltran's niece.
But don't you see there's actual...
I'm Tom Brady's aunt on Twitter.
But don't you see there's actual physical evidence versus...
Get a popular burner.
Versus a player just saying, oh, this is what they did. Okay, if this is what they did, so let me see some receipts. You got some receipts for me? Let me see some evidence.
Well, I mean, they maybe that's coming. Because we don't have it yet, you don't think we could get it?
No, no, but...
I mean, what they're rumored to have done is using real-time audio and video,
right,
which you're not supposed to do, to relay signs to somebody at second base who relays signs at home plate. It's illegal by baseball standards. Right. It is not as sexy,
but you,
quite frankly, as banging a trash
but
can
you would have,
or wearing something on your lapel.
But you would have some receipts for that, right?
So
you
I could guess. Say, I don't know. Maybe
you
not.
Stephen Wright, what game was that you did that in? Okay.
Okay, gotcha, yes.
It was this game. Mm-hmm. If you go back and you look at the video, here's where the video shows, blah, 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 right? So now you'd have physical evidence. Like, we have the trash can banging. We kind of make our own deterrent.
That would take a lot of deep dive in there to be able to go back and get the video and
but
then watch every
it,
single
but
thing.
They did
or
for,
a player with details. That we may get that on the record at some point
for,
or as part of the investigation.
But
yes.
They did it for the Astros with the, you know, this was before mm-hmm. the investigation even came out with the Astros, you know, the
but they
the
were doing
Twitter
something
video.
Different. They're not rumored right. to have done the same thing the Red Sox
No, no, no,
were
but what I'm saying is it's not that hard for them to get the information the same way we got them banging on the trash can
right.
or whatever it was they were banging on. That video to come out on social media, or the same way with the Jose Altuve
right.
where you see him clinching his shirt. It's not that difficult for
Don't Steven. Tear my shirt off when I get to home plate. I need to run into the dugout and remove right. this quickly so no one finds it. Let's celebrate differently.
Right. Like
he's
it
was the guy
you
talked
John
about
Boy.
Earlier.
John Boy.
Yes,
was
he's
the
done
guy.
A great job with it. You talked earlier about you know, the guy who doesn't want to take his shirt off at the beach.
Right.
We're to assume that's Jose Altuve.
Right.
He was too nervous to take his shirt off.
If it's Steven Wright, right?
Can you imagine if they ripped it off at home? Altuve's wearing a wire.
He's like, right.
Well, that burner account says they have pictures of Altuve in the locker room wearing this. So that's the next thing that might
right.
come out. That's true.
So the point I'm trying to make is if Steven Wright is Major League Baseball, if he's their CI, their informant,
yep.
Don't you think
deep that, throw? We'll call him
knuckles deep.
If he's their knuckles deep, don't you think they're like,
whoa? All right, family show here. Come on,
don't you think they're
come
like,
on, Danielle.
All right, Steven, give me some info. Let us know what game. And he goes, okay.
Yes.
What's
and he's
this
going.
Game?
And if he can't, then if it's just three guys who go, here's what we thought was happening, but we right. can't prove it, then you're right. The investigation's going nowhere. If they're meeting with MLB as we speak or sometime this week and they're spilling their guts and the details, you know, deep knuckle, then the Red Sox are screwed and they sound stupid for
yes.
trying to tell us to reserve judgment.
Yes.
And the team walking around. Again, this was on and off the record. They are walking around like the cock of the walk that they did nothing
that's why I'm gonna
wrong.
Do what
which
management
is insane.
Will look bad. The players. Players will look bad.
That's why I'm going to do what they told me to do.
I'm
going to reserve judgment until the investigation comes out and they actually give me some evidence that shows the mm-hmm. Red Sox, this is what they did.
Is Nesson running with reserve judgment as the 2020 catchphrase?
Yes, yeah. they are. Yes.
Hashtag, I think it's reserve judgment and hashtag. Deep throat.
Deep knuckles.
617-779-7937, the phone number. Meanwhile, Fitzy said earlier, I think it was off the air, this is good for baseball. You one of these guys? This is good for the sport?
We're talking about baseball.
Oh, I don't. We'll get to that and your phone calls coming up after a trending. It's Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for Greg Hill.
More of the Greg Hill Show now on WEEI.
Wiggy, Fitzy, Mutt in for Greg and Danielle and Curtis and Ken. They're all back tomorrow. We're keeping it held down today as best we can on a Martin Luther King Day holiday. Wiggy gracing us with his presence. Should have gotten the day off today, given the day itself. But he's here, grinding away. Dale and Keith will come your way, I believe, with Annie Hart at 10 o'clock this morning, then OMF this afternoon. We mentioned earlier that we actually caller that brought this up. I had not seen it on the interwebs yesterday, this Life mm-hmm. and Style magazine, which is apparently one of these supermarket rags that you see mm-hmm. at the end of the aisle when you're sitting there waiting to get your milk and your cereal. And they have a headline mm-hmm. saying Giselle dumps Tom. And this is why you don't give these any sort of credence, because mm-hmm. you have this back and forth where one source, this is reading from the story now, they've been having some nasty blowout fights, said a source.
Mm-hmm.
One was after Giselle told Tom that a psychic told her to leave him.
Oh, wow.
That's what we're dealing with here,
mm-hmm.
folks.
Right.
Of course, he told her that was ridiculous and laughed at her, but it's no jokes, as the source. And the duo are at their breaking point. Quote, they've said some ugly things to each other. It's gotten really bad. Some friends think there's no going back. There's also signs that they're ready to move on. In early January, they slashed the asking price of their Massachusetts mansion by nearly $6 million. Quote, Giselle hates living there. She thinks it's tacky and wants to live in L.A., but Tom doesn't, said a source.
Oh, wow. Now Giselle likes
L.A. But this is what I mean. Mm. Didn't Willie McGinnis, who's friendly with the Brady family, come on here and say Giselle doesn't like L.A., doesn't want to live there, and is happy here on the East Coast?
Sure did.
So now you get this ridiculous, maybe it's not ridiculous, but seemingly ridiculous story that involves a psychic suggesting the couple break up, say something completely different. Well, this is what we're dealing with.
Deep dives on YouTube will also let you know that Tom and Giselle are shape-shifting aliens.
Is that true?
That I can confirm. I did watch that video.
This is from Lifestyle Magazine, right?
Yeah.
Who, a year ago.
We should say Life and Style.
Life and Style. Yeah. January 22nd, 2019, their headline was Relationship Goals. Tom and Giselle are in more love than ever.
Perfect.
So, you know, I guess it just, you know, I guess a year can make a major difference.
A year, a week, a day, a game, anything.
Right.
I blame Belichick.
Yeah.
I think Belichick is obviously the spike that's come between the two.
He's definitely at the end. Yep. You know, then again, it's probably part of the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. So,
The Illuminati's got to be a part of this. Deep state, right?
And I guess it's this will become somewhat of a story because his future is such a story around here. It's going to be the biggest story this week.
And then he was at the match without her. Was that
no
UFC
way.
Conor McGregor?
He definitely was.
He walked in alone. That was a whole thing.
He actually looked like a single guy out in the town in those pictures.
Maybe he is.
I kind of want that leather jacket.
It's a nice jacket.
Just styling guy. Do you ever bother to like see Brady at an appearance or a press conference and then like, oh man, I want that. How much does that cost you? Don't ever bother looking up how much the clothes that Tom Brady wears cost. Because you will feel wallet shamed real fast. Yeah.
Well, he deserves them. He wants the finer things in life. His wife doesn't like that house. We know that. So he's got to dress up and look good
tacky.
For her.
She says it's tacky.
Very, according to Life and Style
magazine. That is a very tacky $35 million
house. Which is a huge source. Go back and look at some of their headlines.
What was the great takeaway from Tom versus Time? I want that house. That was the nicest house I've ever seen in my life. If she thinks that's tacky, I would love to see what her idea of appropriate is.
I just want to be rich enough to be annoyed with a $35 million house. That's a different kind of rich.
Yes.
You never know.
To be in that spot.
That's my kind
of
rich.
You never know. You might be, who knows? You might be an NFL quarterback one day. So
right. Well, show me a hot woman, I'll show you a guy who's tired of blank, right?
So if she wants to move to L.A., the Chargers are back in play, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. They're still 2-1 according to Odd Shark, right?
Yes, they are. They're the 2-1 favorite if it's not the Patriots.
If not the Patriots.
The co-second choice are the Cowboys and the Vegas Raiders. Both at 7-1.
So crazy. Are they the Las Vegas Raiders or they just call them the Vegas Raiders?
I'm not sure, but I know officially they got their name changed from Oakland to Las Vegas this weekend. Yeah. Doesn't Vegas Raiders sound good?
Yeah, I like it just as Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I like Vegas Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders.
But that's only a 40-minute flight, right? Half-hour flight.
Yeah,
you go to Vegas to L.A.?
Yeah,
quick?
You can ask. So I would say, L.A., where the Chargers.
New York to Boston.
Or Vegas Raiders, that would be probably ideal. She wants to live in California.
Yep, you get her back on that West Coast. So they're still in play.
Maybe you can win her back if you sign with the Vegas Raiders or even the L.A. Chargers. Maybe
we're going back to West Coast.
Oh, maybe you win her back.
Maybe Giselle wants to live in Vegas. She probably loves
roulette. Big roulette fan.
In the Life and Style, she said California, so.
I had her pegged for a Let It Ride player, but I could see the roulette.
So you're not buying these teams?
Outdoor life, it's always warm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but I think it's
the
little.
Buffets, the people.
It's a dry heat in Vegas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a little dry. It's deserty. I don't know if that's good for the hair.
Yeah, probably not so much.
Chargers, Titans, Dolphins, Vegas Raiders. You don't buy any of these teams as landing spots for Brady? Because this is what we're going to do the next 2 weeks now. You know that. This is now
2 weeks.
It's 2 months.
Nationally,
it's the Super Bowl. This will be the Brady Bowl. Because we're going to get down
March 17th, right?
They're going to get to Vegas. Get to Miami next week. Mm-hmm. And every talk show is going to be doing some about the game. Where's Brady going? What's he doing? Every guest is going to make their way around Radio Row talking about what Brady's next stop is going to be. Jason Lockenfora had the story yesterday saying Brady's open to meetings. He's treating it like a free agent. And to be honest, Lockenfora is confirming what Tommy Curran reported months ago. So Tommy Curran had this a long, long time ago. He did have the little nugget in the end of the story saying Brady wants to be a mentor to a young quarterback. So clearly, he's out in Vegas. He's leaking things to Lockenfora. He's talking with Jim Gray about being open to the future. He's laying the groundwork to go and test free agency.
I'm open-minded about the process.
Once he gets there, he ain't coming back.
No.
They got to sign him before he gets to that point.
He is not coming back. And don't you think there's a part of Brady who has always wanted the appreciation here, not from the fans, obviously, because he knows he gets it from his fan base, personally, and of course of the Patriots, but he's always wanted that hug, that extra validation from Belichick, it seems, even though Belichick lavished him with praise in that NFL 100 quarterback special. There's got to be that last little bit of something that Brady would love, like, wow, this really feels nice. Is this how much everyone loves me? Is this how much everyone wants me to be a part of their team? Just to be courted, just to be loved, just to be fawned over, just get that red carpet treatment. He saw the way people rolled it out for Peyton, and he only went to a couple teams and then jumped into John Elway's open arms and got a Super Bowl a couple years later thanks to that defense. Brady would have to love the dog and pony show that'll get rolled out for him this spring.
And I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Oh, that is ironic. Oops. We're getting that now from her. Is she feeling appreciated? Well, that's Life and Style magazine. Mm-hmm. But to your point, yeah, he's going to, again, I'm going to credit him for this. But Skip Bayless made a great point on Twitter last night as you're watching the 49ers. Great offensive line, awesome running game, explosive receivers. Like, that's what Tom Brady should have had this year.
Right.
And they patched it together with a makeshift line. They went to the second-year guy at left tackle. The running game was never good. They never gave him a tight end.
Yeah, but
They screwed Tom Brady.
They did, but they tried to get guys in. Jared Cook wanted to come here, but he didn't know what was going on with Gronk. So Gronk kind of was, you know,
didn't want to second fiddle it.
Right. He was the monkey wrench in the Jared Cook debacle. You try to go after Adam Humphries, but Humphries was like, well, you know what?
My
word is my bond, so I'm gonna go there for less money. You try to get AB and then he went nuclear. And you traded for Mohamed Sanu when you probably should have traded for Emmanuel Sanders.
First-round pick on a receiver who misses half the year, then comes back and can't get in the right spot half the time.
So, I mean, you did a lot of things in the sense of you at least tried. It didn't work out, but at least you tried, you know?
But you put more blame on the way they built it than Tom Brady, though. You agree. This was not a Brady fault year. We're done the conversation, but I just want to...
No.
You're not saying this was Brady's fault they played so poorly offensively.
No, it's pieces around, because like you said, if Brady's playing for any one of these four teams that were left before the championship weekend, I mean, Brady's, you know, top 10, top 5 in all the statistical categories that are out there. So when you look at it, it's not about Brady so much. I think, yeah, there's a little just natural slippage from, you know, being 42 years old.
Age regression.
Right, but at the end of the day, you put enough pieces around him, he's still a top 5 quarterback in the NFL.
And I would say all four teams that played this weekend all had much better weapons than anything the Patriots had. I mean, even the Tennessee Titans, who were the biggest underdog, well, it wasn't pretty close, actually. But they still had a young tight end in Jonnu Smith the Patriots could have drafted, big offensive line, Derrick Henry in an actual running game. Like, there were pieces there that Brady could have worked with, and here... It just was too much of a hill to climb.
All you had
given the lack
was,
of offensive talent.
You had, realistically, you had a broken down Julian Edelman who was hurt.
Yep.
You know, and give him credit, he fought through it. But at the end, towards the end of the season, he was battered and bruised. And you had James White who, you know, couldn't.
The book's out on James White. I mean, he's great, but he's not going to carry an offense.
Right. Not without
the
other pieces.
He sort of did in the first half of 2018.
Right, but that's because you have those other pieces.
You had a healthier Edelman. You did have Gronk still.
Right.
And even, like we said before, Gronk at 65% still commands 100% of your attention.
Right. And so now it's like the food chain. When you don't have those top dogs on that food chain, you now have to climb. And you don't really, maybe you don't fit there. But when you have those top dogs, now you're in a different spot on the food chain. And now you could be the third guy, the fourth guy. The double coverage isn't coming to you. You don't have to worry about, you know, them, you know, scheming and spying on you. It's all about the other guys.
Let me float one little bit of crazy here. If they're going to approach Brady and try to get him re-signed before the Ides of March or St. Patrick's Day or whatever, you know, seminal moment we're going to point to. Seminal is the word, Christian Fourier. God bless you.
Seminal.
Yes, Florida State Seminoles. Exactly. before that important cutoff
choose
date.
Normal words.
Yes,
do you
very
think
important word.
Important. Big. Bigly. Do you think there's any chance that Belichick and Kraft get together and say, all right, we not only are we going to get you what you want, but we have approached Gronk on the side. We have gone to Amendola, who's a free agent. Like, would Brady be any more, would he want to come back if he knew he could have some of his comfort buddies, if he could have some of his, you know, if they can bring back Dola and Gronk?
But Dola, that has to be part of it. Yes,
but Dola
it
would, only right?
Those guys still aren't. In,
right, Dola only works if Amendola only works if the other
complimentary,
pieces.
He's a complimentary yes. piece. Yes,
if he 100%. Falls down on the food chain, but if you're relying on him to go out there and hunt, then you No, he's not the guy.
And I don't think Gronk's coming back.
Yeah.
If he came back, is he the third best tight end? He's not the no longer the we're seeing the best two tight ends in the game playing on Super Bowl Sunday, right? It's going to be George Kittle and Travis
Gronk's
Kelce.
Right up there.
If he, Gronk with the, Gronk on, with the year with off the, with his legs back under right. him, I think he'd be better than
I think
Kelce.
He'd come back and be a different player. I think he'd be more like Travis Kelce, where he's more a receiver
Good.
Than he is a blocker Great. If he's lost all this weight. I just don't think he's going to come back and play. But to your point, say it's Edelman, and they say, we can bring Amon. Those you're talking about the big dogs?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a big dog on that roster you just talked about. They're still missing the big piece offensively. Because everyone
they're
bringing back.
You mean if they bring back Gronk?
I don't think,
if they bring
Gronk, yes. I don't think Gronk's coming back. So I guess
if he doesn't come back, okay.
He would be the piece right. that you're out the double team.
Right.
And now guys get more open.
But if you don't bring him back,
if he's staying in retirement.
And you just
and
got
it's Edelman, N'Keal Harry, Sanu year two.
Amendola
is the name you mentioned. There's
work.
Still not that. No, there's no, not even close.
Yeah, they
That's
have
not
they,
what he's
they,
looking
they
for.
Still
it's
don't
the same have, thing as this year, essentially.
Right? They don't still. They need that. They need that.
He needs
punch.
That. Not he, that he needs that.
He needs that. But even they need
well,
that.
You can't
as
say
a team.
It's going to be AJ Green because the guy didn't play a single down this
he
year.
He needs that knockout punch.
He's always banged up. He's you're, always banged up,
hoping,
even though he's going to probably get some huge
right.
money from somebody.
But here's what you're hoping. You're hoping that you can package, like a guy that I would go after would be Stephon Diggs or even Adam Thielen, right? You got two guys in Minnesota that really don't like
playing for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, they don't
or
like
just not being a top dog.
They just don't like being not the top dog, and they don't like being not part of that passing game offense. Right?
Sure.
That team is built by Dalvin Cook.
Yep.
Right. They beat the Saints, and Diggs is like to celebrate. He's like, I didn't get a catch.
Right. So
sorry.
Can you say here's my first round pick 24? Here's maybe a third round pick. Is that enough to maybe get you Stephon Diggs? And then,
but how do you promise him that before you can't make that deal until the league year starts, correct? So you got to get the deal done beforehand.
He'd have to have the faith that you would get this deal done.
And has he lost trust in them because of what happened last year? I don't know. It's the million-dollar question. And you talk about Brady needs this big dog somewhere.
He needs a knockout punch.
Like if Minnesota came knocking. Why wouldn't the Vikings be a good spot? They can move on from Kirk Cousins. He's got the big dogs already there.
But don't the
Tennessee's
but
got when the potentially Derrick
when
Henry.
When the Vikings have to eat Kirk Cousins' money?
It was a fully guaranteed 3-year.
$84 million.
They've got to eat $28 million
to bring
in Brady.
They'd find a taker for him. They would trade him and eat some of the money.
All right,
so you're saying
they'd have to trade Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, there's hoops to jump through. But I'm trying to think of the teams we talked about. You know, who has that big dog already, or is he looking for the flexibility to help you pick those players?
So,
I don't know.
So why wouldn't they? So maybe they trade Kirk Cousins to the Pats. That wouldn't work because now Brady's money. Now you're talking about
1 year. He would be your bridge quarterback.
Yeah, but you're talking
a bridge
about
quarterback
a bridge quarterback
for Jared Stidham,
at what $37 million?
Can I?
More than that?
Can I already say
well,
I don't like that? Is it okay?
28 plus 13.
Yeah, well,
it's like $41.5 million
for Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Sign me up.
That's not going to happen. 617-779-7937. Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mudd. It's just a world where Tom Brady's going somewhere. We're trying to find out where.
More of the Greg Hill Show.
I listen to you guys religiously every morning.
On WEEI.
All right, final couple of minutes. It is Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for Greg Hill. He's back tomorrow. What are you guys working on? What do you have for us here? This is a Fitzy production of some sort?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that involved. I just took a couple notes over the show.
I think
we
broke
sound
like you're definitely
involved. He's the Alex Cora of
yeah.
him.
Yeah, I am the Alex Cora.
I
didn't bang on the
Stevens
trash can, but
here.
I may have, yeah.
A lot of whispering back and forth.
Yeah. All right, so we with put
J.D.
together.
With J.D. Martinez, like,
broke
what's
a lot
on?
Of ground. Broke a lot of ground today. Really some seminal moments, if you will, in frequency modulated sports broadcast history. So Nick and Eamon.
Oh, let's just say important moments.
Important, yes, exactly. Some very seminally important moments. So the boys in the back have put together a little 2-minute highlight montage of the best moments of Mutt, Wiggy, and Fitzy here on Martin Luther King Day.
Of a Derrick Henry or
for Steve Mostert, left ghost off.
Because it's Josh McDaniels will be here to be his consigliere. All right, now normally Danielle does this, but I'm going to sit in. I'm going to fill in for her. Fits.
What? All right, and three, on the air, two,
I got to fill in for her. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name.
Go for it.
It's let's see, Chigawadaki Napaka. That's what his name was, Chigawadanka, and then...
Save that one, Eamon.
Wait, hold on.
Go ahead, try the last name.
Wait, are you reading the lyrics to Circle of Life from Lion King, or this guy's name?
It's a good old... This name straight from the motherland.
Chikadinaka.
Chikadinaka.
Novaki?
Napaki.
I nailed it.
Yes.
Crushed it.
So
whatever wherever McGregor fights next.
Even if you have Saquon Barkley,
yep.
Right?
Today on Kelly and Wiggs.
That's a pretty horrible show.
I don't know. I don't. You know what? I'd like to be in a position to find out.
Maybe it was the
feng shui? I wish I was rich enough to find out. Why do I hate? It is not crazy to think that he has benefited bigly from having Tom Brady as his quarterback.
Yep. Aaron Foreman.
Yep.
Don't you think
deep that throw, we'll call him.
Knuckles deep.
If he's there knuckles deep, don't you think they're like,
whoa! All right. Family show here. Come on. Is Nesson running with reserve judgment as the 2020 catchphrase?
Yes, yeah. They are.
Yeah. Hashtag, I think it's reserve judgment and hashtag. Deep throat.
Deep knuckles.
617-779.
Banging on the trash can audio or the Jose Altuve where he's like clinching his shirt and there's that type of thing, right? You got two guys in Minnesota.
Seminole is the word, Christian Fourier. God bless you.
Seminole.
Seminole. Yes, Florida State Seminoles. Exactly. before that important cutoff
choose
date.
Normal words.
Yes,
do you
very
think
important word.
Important. Big.
There
bigly.
Some would say it's about a minute and 59 seconds too long for the best of the show this morning, but a good job.
No
good job, guys. Fitzy had the highlights in there. Fitzy had all the funny stuff. We say the dumb stuff. He's the funny guy.
We're the funny stuff.
Idiot. Oh, you guys are the real funny here. What do I know?
No, that was very well done, boys.
Those were the big laughs we wanted and needed and deserved.
That was funny. I do like the chickadee. Consigliere.
Leave that name for everyone else at the station. See how they do with that name.
Nah,
tough
name. Nobody would get that
name. I give
Wiggy
credit for that.
No one would get Chigawadanka. At least I tried that.
All right, which one are you guys in tomorrow? Who's here tomorrow?
I am here tomorrow.
Okay, so Wiggy's back tomorrow.
Yep. Yes.
Fitzy's off to chase down Tom Brady stories and life
on Brady magazine. Watch 24/7.
You should be, yes.
I'm going to be very seminal tomorrow.
You should be. Eamon and Nick, excellent job behind the glass producing the show. Dale and Keith are coming up. I know Dale is here. Keith is here. I think Andy Hart's going to be with the guys as well. They are next here on WEEIC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.